Hey, and hello,
welcome.
Here we go. And I can make a firm pledge under my plan, no family making less than $250,000.
Let me say it as simply as I can.
Any form of
transparency and the rule of law will be the touchstone.
You got a business
of this president.
That you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Even presidents need reminding that our rights come from nature and God and not from government. The right that makes all the difference now is the right to choose our own leaders. And you are entitled to the clearest possible choice, because the time for choosing is drawing near.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is proud to present your favorite hillbilly, Mr. Kevin Harned.
And guys, as we kick off the first show in quite a while, and it has been quite a while, as far as that goes, some say not long enough, but I beg to differ. Only our biggest fan.
Right.
Let's not try to bribe the people right off the bat. They'll figure us out another flight. In studio tonight, Richard and Dean. So we've got Richard Blowers, Dean Whiteman, myself, Kevin Harned in studio. And actually, it's been a little bit since we've been in studio. I had some stuff going on, both in the personal life as far as with work and also, just stuff going on. Let's just say that. Outside of that, if you'd like to call in and chit-chat with a bunch of hillbillies, you can reach us at 347-677-1835. That's 347-677-1835. And Richard brought in a nice looking new addition to his family this evening. What'd you bring in here, Richard? I was too busy trying to get us all squared away on the computer side of things.
No, I picked up a new Springfield Armory XDM 45 ACP a couple weeks back.
Dino is our official it's nice guy.
Yeah.
I held it. he said it had a real nice handle.
It's got a great grip.
Great grip. Richard did a little modification to that, I do believe.
Yeah, put a sand texture grip on it so you can, that smooth plastic sometimes a little slippery. And that's not going to come out of your hand unless it's meant to.
When you're in a muddy firefight.
Yeah, if somebody's trying to take it away from you, yeah.
Oh, good call.
So it's a smart move. Unfortunately, as we move along, we've got situations to where ammo just doesn't seem to be any easier to find, does it?
It's unbelievable. You can't. I haven't seen a .22 bullet in about 2 months now. You can't find them anywhere.
Seriously.
Really?
You have people waiting in line for 3 hours at Walmart because they got a shipment of ammo in. They don't know what they're going to get, but they're going to wait to get it. And it's kind of... There's a lot of questions as to why that's happening, but
is there really?
I don't really think so. But
all right, that's what I was thinking.
You know, these guys would be selling it if they could sell it, if
right.
they could get it.
Right.
You know, so where's it going? I mean, the ammo plants are working three shifts, 24/7, pretty much. So where is all that going to? Not military ammo. That's the thing. It's
right.
Division of Homeland Security. Other places, maybe.
They're getting a whole lot of it, but it still doesn't explain. You know, I'm sure they had warehouses full of stuff to ship out. So I don't know where it's going to. You think that all those ammo purchases by the government, they don't normally buy that much ammo. They never have in the past.
Right.
You know, it's not training ammo because it's hollow point. You know, hollow points aren't for training. They're too expensive. You know, nobody trains with hollow points unless you're just trying to find out how they're shooting compared to your other loads. You're not going to go out and blow three boxes of hollow points at the range. It's just, you know, now you're talking $150 for something like that.
Now, a lot of people on the flip side of the coin will blame that on folks like yourself or us or others that like our firearms. They'll say that it's people stockpiling. I don't quite buy into that either. Now naturally there is a large increase in sales. I don't think anybody disputes that. Since the president's first election, sales of ammo and guns have gone up. Continually.
It went through the roof last time. The first time he won, you couldn't find reloading certain kinds of powder and certain kind of primers. You couldn't find back in 2009. And they finally started catching up with it. And, of course, the prices, it went up probably close to 40 to 50%. Used to get 1,000 primers for about $21, $22. Now they're over $30. And that's before this last, you know, run that went after the Sandy Hook massacre. So, you know, it's just, I know people have been buying more, and there's reasons for that. You know, you hear the talk coming out of Washington about banning all this stuff, and then you hear reports that, you know, agencies that have never bought near that much have been buying, well, it's over, getting close to 2 billion rounds of ammunition right now.
Right.
You know, and those two things right there, the way the government's talking and then the way the government's buying, it definitely, if you're not paying attention to that, then, you know, I don't understand why you wouldn't be. But
22s.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. You know what? I was pretty proud of my 22 stockpile,
sure.
Actually. I mean, I so I had a few bricks, you know, I got some laying around, but that was they were just cheap, and every once in a while I'd buy a brick. Or,
well, every time you go in, I go into Buckeyes, and there's always an end cap right there that's got Blazer 22s
right.
on it, 525 rounds for $18.99, and I walk by them every day. Now, you don't see them. You know?
That's right, I guess. It's like that at Walmart, but clearing out Walmart shelves,
yeah.
I can't believe that's people, as soon as the shipment comes in, they buy the whole thing every single time.
Well, they limit you to three to five boxes, too. It's not like you can go in one person, buy everything. You can get 3 to 5 boxes of anything at a time. You know, you can still get 12-gauge shells and 20-gauge shells, you know, the Target stuff.
Right.
Now, you actually have some of the shops that are making purchases from other retailers so that they would have some to sell.
Well, sure, because, you know, you go in and say somebody wants to go in and they're going to buy their first handgun, they want to buy, a 9mm. Well, who wants to go buy a gun if you can't get a couple boxes of shells to go try it out?
That's
know?
Like buying a bowling ball and not having an alley to throw it on. It makes no sense.
And some of the retails were saying that same thing. We have it in the back, but it's for when people buy a gun. If they want to buy a few boxes, I want to have it here for them to get. Like I said, no, that's right. They're not going to set it out for everybody to get, because that could be a selling point for who wants to buy a gun if you can't get bullets.
Right, right.
You know.
Now, do you not believe? I'm kind of inclined to believe that the bottom line is they're just having so much difficulty passing some of those gun laws that what good is a gun without a bullet? And that they're in turn too, they can claim that they're not they're not violating anybody's rights or Second Amendment rights or anything along those lines. They're going to make it very difficult to obtain the firearms, or not the firearms, but the bullets themselves, the ammunition.
It's brilliant.
I mean, that makes perfect sense. Honestly, out of every single thing that I've saw out there, that makes more sense to me than anything.
Well, it would be easier for them to do that.
Absolutely, it would.
You know, they can tie up contracts, because when they get government contracts for ammunition and guns, they're priority contracts.
They're at the top of the list.
Right. So they get first dibs, and if they just decide, well, I think we need 3 billion rounds, there, keep them coming, fellas. And
right.
Then they starve everybody out. You can't get it.
I actually saw on CNN today, there was they had an article called A Call to Arms for Common Sense Gun Control. And it's anything but common sense. For one thing, Vice President Joe Biden was involved. But he's just talking about the importance of passing common sense legislation to reduce gun violence, you know, talking about how important that is. Now, get this, and this is one of the things that drives me nuts. We all knew it was going to happen. They joined families of those killed last December in the shooting massacre in Newtown, Connecticut, to push for the new rules. So Biden also lauded Bloomberg, who is that common sense kind of fellow, right, out of New York. He called his common sense immense and committed gun control work, criticized those who say the proposals would violate rights. Now, this is where he's going with this. Tell me how it violates anyone's constitutional right to limit ammunition clips to 10 rounds, Biden said. Think about Newtown. Think about how many children and teachers may be alive today had the shooter had to reload more often than he did. So, once again, that no shame whatsoever. Whenever they're never let a crisis go to waste
I always have to pull the victims in and use that card.
Absolutely.
The sad thing is, I don't know how many laws that kid in Newtown broke.
Absolutely.
And, you know, how the same government that's talking about this is letting thousands of illegals go who've been jailed because of the so-called sequester cuts. They can't afford to keep them, so they're just turning them loose. I just don't understand.
I didn't hear about that. That's nice.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that right after they cut out the White House tours.
Yep.
For all the volunteers were costing.
Well, that was going on at the same time, but it took a little before it came out.
Wait. They're $75,000 a week or something like that.
As far as I know, the expense for security was the greatest expense that was involved around it. Yeah. Otherwise, the tour guides themselves were volunteers.
$75,000? Okay, so those guys make, we'll say, $2,000 a week. There's 37 and a half of them there?
Hey, I mean, you mean to tell me out of the $45 billion they're printing extra every month, you can't crack another $75,000?
Come on, Kevin, that's for the banks.
Right,
for the banks.
Yeah.
We don't see any.
Or let's take the – I'm sure we give Egypt probably about $80 billion rather, with a B. It wouldn't surprise me one iota. I know in dollars, too. We cut checks to people. I know a while back we had given the Palestinian Authority $900 million, and that's been that was shortly in the first term,
and that's what we borrowed
actually.
China.
Oh, yeah.
But the point is, and there is a push, really, honestly, and a lot of people call it shameless, that was started by Rand Paul, and we know what people are calling it shameless, that's saying that if you burn American flags and you act like an enemy of America, no more checks for you. You know, and people are saying that that's not a good move and not a smart thing to do, and he's just grandstanding.
The same people that are taking God We Trust off our coinage.
Yeah, I'm sure. What are you thinking about, Richard? You look like you're deep in thought.
Oh, there's just so much stuff, Kevin. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
I could go off in one of eight directions right now.
You know, here's the whole thing. Now, we had these limited clips before.
It didn't make a bit of difference.
You know what? If nothing else, I mean, you look at all of the school shootings that actually started just piling up afterwards, and I'm not going to say that it caused it. That would be too much of a liberal thing to do, really, is just to say that it caused it, so the correlation is there. But I will say maybe some of the policies helped increase it, including, you know, not allowing those that could legally carry to not carry within school districts all of a sudden.
We never had a school shooting until we had gun-free schools.
Right.
You know,
and so I'm not going to say the policies couldn't, but as far as the ban on so-called high-capacity clips, here Biden was talking about that today, too, when he said, I was told in 1992 when I introduced many of these reforms that there was no way you could never beat the gun lobby. It's not possible. Well, in 1994, we did. In 1994, reason prevailed, and we passed the assault weapon ban, a limitation on the size of magazines, and a number of other measures, including expanding the so-called Brady Bill and background checks. He said that the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting in Newtown was conducted with a weapon of war, and that a weapon of war has no place on the American streets. The shooter, of course, as we know, I guess he wasn't charged because he was dead, but it says in here he gunned down 20 children and 6 adult staff members with a Bushmaster AR-15 rifle. Did they ever really honestly nail that?
No.
Did they ever clarify that?
No. I've seen reports where they said that no, it was not, because they had videotape of what they brought out of the school and what was in his car.
And what was in the trunk.
And the Bushmaster never left the trunk of the car.
And that was in repeated newscasts out of the gate.
Right.
9mm pistols, wasn't it?
As far as I know, yeah. It was all semi-automatic pistols.
Yeah, they keep talking about the Bushmaster.
I mean, how simple, how difficult, let's just say, can it be to figure out exactly which weapon he used? I mean, they had the whole school shut down for a day.
There's shell casings all over the school.
Yep.
There's bullets that they got from the children and probably from walls and wherever else they went.
That's right.
They knew that the next day, okay? They knew that the next day, and they never come out and clarify it because it's not on the agenda.
How come nobody – you never hear anything about what it was anymore?
No.
Period.
They don't care.
You don't even question it.
No, they don't
nobody
care.
Nobody does.
Yeah.
the press once again doing an excellent job.
Well, the thing is, actual murders with assault rifles last year was, I believe, 320 something, and murders with a hammer was 480. Okay, so you had 150 more people murdered with hammers last year than with assault rifles. So, you know, how about some honesty?
Right.
You know, it just seems to go out the window.
That's amazing, really.
Well,
yeah. With hammers.
Yes.
Specifically.
Yes.
And here's the thing to ask. The questions to ask is, quite frankly, you know, you say that you're not violating anybody's Second Amendment rights. Are you making us safer by this legislation?
And
let's say that you weren't. And I can definitely argue that, quite frankly, I believe they are whenever they do this. But if you were not, if that wasn't even an argument, does the legislation work, and are you making us safer?
Is it their job to keep us safe? I don't think I ever read that anywhere when I read the Constitution many times. I never saw anything in there that it was the federal government's job to keep us safe. It's their job to ensure we have our liberty. That's what their job is. This safety thing is just absurd.
But this whole liberty thing, Richard, is what's causing a lot of this unsafety stuff. So we've got to address that.
But we all know the bad guys don't follow the rules. So you can make whatever legislation you want, it won't matter.
Right, because they're not gonna come and check in their magazines. They're not gonna go through the background checks.
And they weren't part of the background check in the first place, normally.
No, because they waited for somebody else to get it, and then they illegally broke into their house and stole
it,
and then they got it that way.
Yep.
So,
right.
You know, it's...
I got my shotgun, though. I'm ready to shoot it off my porch.
Uncle John.
Both
barrels. Huh? Stunk? No. Biden says whenever the bad guys
come. Yeah, that's right.
Well, he said you just shoot through the door. Don't even open it.
I thought it was go off the deck.
Well,
that was the
first one, and then the next week he said, you know, and hell, you can always just shoot through the door.
Oh,
right.
Genius.
Somebody told me that stupid the first time, Joe. Don't shoot off the deck.
Well, all I could say is we are going to take us a quick break, and we'll be right back with Hillbilly Logic as we get into some other topics of the news. Feel free to call in at 347-677-1835.
Have you joined Missouri Grassroots Coalition yet? The results of the 2012 election proved that the grassroots conservatives need to work harder to make their voices heard in government. The best way for Missouri conservatives to make their voices heard is to join together within the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Network and show our elected that we are a strong, unified, conservative voice in Missouri. Go to the website, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and click on the Join tab. Give us your contact information so that we can keep you updated on the latest developments in Jefferson City and beyond. Also, sign up for Grassfire Alerts so that you can get immediate notifications when we need to call grassroots conservatives together in action. Use the MGC network to help your grassroots organization speak with a louder voice, combined with grassroots groups across the state. Together, we can strengthen the conservative voice in Missouri. Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
and welcome back to Hillbilly Logic is the Three Hillbillies.
Coolest thing ever.
What's that?
I love that scorpion.
A little bit of Big City?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, guys, one of the things, and I know we've been, as it's easy to do and it's very important to do, and that is to voice our opinion and discuss with some of the things that's going on with our Second Amendment rights right now. Getting a little bit off that topic, unless you guys have something that you want to really get out there or kick around with it.
I just had one more thing that I think that people need to realize that, you know, they're saying now that Feinstein bill in the Senate is dead. But I tell you what, the biggest single thing they could do to infringe on the Second Amendment is that universal background check. And they keep saying that everybody thinks that's a nice, common sense. Everybody wants to do it.
That's one of the things that Biden said.
And that's one of the things that would absolutely kill, in my opinion, the Second Amendment. Because what all that is a registration. Right now, if I want to give my son a gun, I can do that. My uncle, you can sell amongst people. And this universal background check would basically make that illegal.
Even to inherit.
Yep. Firearms. Yep. You would have to go through a background check in order to inherit firearms from somebody that you knew.
Wow.
And all that does, you know, you have to go through the background check if you go through an FFL right now.
Right.
Or if you go state to state.
Sure do.
You know, they talk about internet sales, but if you go to one of the big, like gunbroker.com or Guns America, where there's auction sites where people can sell stuff.
He said auction.
I love auction.
Dealers use it, individuals can use it, but just so everybody knows, you can't just get on the internet and send somebody a check and get a gun back.
Right.
That has to go through an FFL. That guy say he lives in Nevada, and he's got a gun that I want to buy. I can send him a PayPal. Most of them don't use PayPal. It's usually postal money order because it's federal if you try to fraud somebody about that.
There you go.
But he gets the money order. He boxes up the gun. I got to supply him with a federal firearms dealer near me that will do the transfer. He sends the gun to the FFL. I go in. I fill out the paperwork. They run a background check on me before I ever touch the gun.
Now, this is somebody that isn't a dealer. It's just somebody. It's just Joe Schmo that lives in Arizona.
That was like if you had somebody in Nevada that you wanted to sell a gun to and they wanted it.
Right.
For you as an individual to sell that gun, that's what has to happen. Now, again,
to another individual.
To another individual. Now, if you're in Missouri, you can do a sale. Now, if I'm an FFL, I cannot sell a gun to anybody without a background check. But say I had something that you wanted, I could sell that to you right away.
If I'm at an auction, I watch a gun be sold, and it's sold to whoever the high bidder is, and they get the gun and walk off. I don't know that those guys are doing anything with the
I don't believe you. Well, you're not an FFL, so.
As long as you don't, there's an X amount that you have to do as an auctioneer, and if you only do, say, one every 6 months,
right,
you don't have to get one.
Right. So, if you specialized in guns and you sold a lot, you would be required to have an FFL to do that.
I just gave somebody a gun.
Right.
Well, and quite frankly, I mean, again, those that are Second Amendment backers will argue, quite frankly, what's wrong with that? I mean, it's not. There are.
You know, and something else too that is really scary right now. And I don't know if you guys have heard about this. I keep going on about Second Amendment. But,
no, that's fine. It's pretty darn important.
They're using now the psychological aspect of the law, the 68 firearms federal firearms law that they enacted, the gun control law in 68.
Okay.
After Martin Luther King and Kennedy was killed, they were able to get it through. But that's where it says if you have been adjudicated insane or if you have a felony, you're a felon, you can't own a firearm.
Yeah, all valid points.
But the problem is they're starting to really stretch that psychological aspect of it, because there's been, in recent months, there's been a number of veterans that have been sent letters from the Department of Defense and the Pentagon saying, you know, on reviewing your veterans' medical records, it sees, you know, we see you have PTSD, and we feel that you would be a risk to own a firearm, so we're revoking your right to own a firearm because you're you have a mental condition that could be dangerous with a gun.
Well, that's just like the thing we talked about on our last show, where the doctors were going to be able to make a decision.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. And it's they're taking that window and they're running with it. Now, if you can't trust a veteran who's been trained and served the country with the firearm, that's what you're going to do when they come back?
I want him to have a gun anyway. Man, I want him to be my neighbor and be trained.
So you're gonna take away his Second Amendment rights, and then you're gonna cut his medical benefit that was guaranteed when he signed up, and you're gonna take away his tuition reimbursement, which was guaranteed.
That's the worst.
It's like, come on, we really treat these guys great.
Right, we do.
I'm telling you what. And there's a lot of things that could happen with that psychological aspect of that 68 gun control that they could try to take advantage of, especially now with Obamacare and all the interconnected medical records. And, you know, it's really, really crazy how things are going. But that's the biggest thing, in my opinion, to be afraid of.
Well, you know, they love the gray areas, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely love them. And that's why you just can't leave it up to the interpretation for them to make a judgment call.
Nope. And when you give them an inch,
they'll take
a mile.
Okay.
That's it.
That's it. You're listening to Hillbilly Logic. We've got Richard Blowers, Dean Whiteman, myself, Kevin Harnett, in studio this evening. And quite frankly, again, you know, a lot of Second Amendment issues. One of the things, and this may not be pressing as much out there as far as on the news or anything, but I thought it was interesting to see that today they have announced that the universe is older than they previously thought. Some new studies, you know, so they had it pegged actually now 13.8 billion years ago instead of, it's 100 million years earlier than previous estimates.
Well,
so it's a little.
How can I possibly believe anything they tell me?
They're 100 million years old. They're constantly amazing themselves with new criteria that kind of blows apart everything that they base their religion on in the past. And I'm not slamming. I'm not trying to slam science. Not at all. But whenever it becomes a religion, then I do have problems with it. So
the same people that took Pluto away from me as a planet.
I'm telling you, yes.
So. Well, they're the same group that went from global cooling and the next ice age to global warming.
Absolutely.
And we were going to turn into a ball of flames to now it's just climate change.
Well, now this new version they've got tells us new things about what happened just 10 nanoseconds. Is that Mork and Mindy? Or what? nanoseconds after the Big Bang when the universe expanded by 100 trillion trillion times. They've got it figured out, Richard.
100 trillion trillion times.
In a nanosecond.
Well, it was on the head of a pin.
Right. So even 100 trillion trillion, I don't believe, would get us where we're at.
Would they find that on Ancestry.com or something?
it's another thing, and I'm sorry, but folks, whenever you put all of your faith in either our technology or our opinions, you've got more faith than I do, is all I can say. So you look at different things, it says that everything visible in the galaxy accounts for relatively 4.9% of the universe. So, and that's the other thing, too.
Wait, I thought the universe went on forever.
Pretty much. I mean, that's what they're saying.
My mom told me in school the other day that there's something stopping it. His teacher tried to tell him there's something out there. Actually, they're finding the end of the universe. Have you guys heard about this?
They're finding the end of the universe.
Uh-huh.
And I do know that they finally have stated that that the universe, that the stars are numbered as the grains of the sand of the seas. So, I mean, I wonder where we've heard that before, but that's one of the...
So they can find the end of the universe, but they couldn't see that asteroid that blew up over Russia a few weeks back, and they couldn't see that? Come on.
Now here's another thing. Dark matter, which does not interact with light but can be detected by its gravitational pull, comprises 26.8% of the universe, nearly one-fifth more than previous estimates. So, again, revisions, right? Is this revisionism as we know it? The rest of the universe is dark energy, a mysterious and recently discovered force that defies gravity and is responsible for speeding up the universe's rate of expansion. New results show that dark energy accounts for 69% of the universe, slightly less than previously estimated. So this is, this again, all this new theories. Does that, and just a while back, I mean, even at the zoo and stuff, you'll see things that state that, for instance, the theory of evolution, and it'll say, even though it is a theory, most scientists, I love how everybody always says most credible scientists, that kind of a thing. It'll say that most agree that it's highly probable that this is how things took place and blah, blah, blah. Most credible now. We've only got the discredited ones that disagree.
Yeah.
Only.
Just like the ones on the other side of global warming. Same.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Now they figured out that ancient mega volcanoes killed half the world's species. Not previous global warming. Well, they do kind of mention that in here, but that's
what caused the mega volcanoes to go off.
Well, 200 million years ago,
man burning a bunch of.
It was caveman. It was cavemen. They were busy finishing off all of the saber-toothed tigers,
right,
and everything on the barbecue pits.
Yes,
and along with some of the other species that went extinct.
Well, that dinosaur methane.
That could have been it, too.
Bring back the old man.
It's the most precise date to yet. 201,564,000 years ago is what they pegged this at. Can you believe
they got all this Richard figured out and they still can't find Bigfoot for
201,564,000 years ago. They got this nailed.
That's how long man's been around?
No, this was one of all these mega volcanoes. Well,
oh, okay.
Not everything.
But half of them. It says the eruption had to be a hell of an event. And
I couldn't have said it better myself.
So they're looking at things. Now, here we go. They may offer a historic parallel to the human-caused climate change happening today. Go figure, huh? How does that? Are you shocked that that worked its way into the article?
Boy, what's that a stretch or what?
It's a stretch. Can you imagine pegging something? We've got an average lifespan of 70 years, and we're going to peg something at 201,564,000 years ago. You think?
Yeah.
I wonder what the window of margin of error is.
In 10 years, you can say we were 100 million years off, and nobody will blink an eye. It'll just be a small little news story, and the date.
Oh, man. Well, here it even says a blank in here, Dino. The new analysis windows the estimated date from its previous range of up to 3 million years to 20,000 years at most, a blink of an eye in geological times.
Oh, well,
so there you go. They went from literally 3 million to 20,000, and it's a blink, just like Dean said.
Sure.
Already. So
the further, you'll see that I wrote the article.
You know what? I can't help but to think of seeing, and I'm trying to think of what was the pathological liar on Saturday Night Live?
Oh yeah,
Tommy Flanagan.
Flanagan. Go.
Flanagan is what it was. Yeah,
yeah,
but it looks like Flanagan. I think that he is the number one editor for most of these newspapers and so
good
forth.
Call.
You know, I don't know. It's ridiculous to me. Needless to say, it's just more proof positive of the accuracy of so many's faith. So there is some things, though, that on the medical side, which I kind of, you know, science, I'm not trying to besmirch all of you scientists out there.
We love you.
Yes, we do. I mean, you do a lot of neat things, but here's where a cell therapy shows promise for acute type of leukemia. They gave this one guy that was severely, severely, severely ill.
Yeah.
Chemotherapy had failed. His outlook was maybe a couple of months. They gave him this therapy, and all traces of leukemia vanished in 8 days.
Stem cells?
And that's This is always what I thought was pretty interesting, and I think where we're going to find a lot of these quote discoveries is within the cells that are already in our biological system, and that's what they're doing here. Is they're taking some of the cells, the T cells
from our body,
so they're pulling them from our body, and they're actually, believe it or not, genetically kind of altering them to go after the cancer cells themselves, specifically targeting.
That's smart.
And those are things that very seldom that I think most of us will argue with. But I thought that was pretty amazing. This is just an experimental thing, but it's proven pretty effective.
I'm telling you, a year ago I heard the same story.
It says the treatment uses patient's own T cells, a type of white blood cell that normally fights viruses and cancer, and the patient's blood is run through a machine that extracts those cells and returns the rest of the blood to the body. The researchers then do some genetic engineering. They use a disabled virus as a vector to carry new genetic material into the T cells, and that reprograms them to recognize and kill any cells that carry a particular protein on its surface.
That will be the fountain
of youth. Yeah, so, I heard something like that in some research that was in clinical testing. Now I think that it had some kind of a similar thing, but they used some kind of metal that would target the cancer cells, and then they used a targeted.
You know, they've done that before with gold.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was gold. Yeah, and those cells went in and they targeted the cancer cells, and then they used some kind of similar to an X-ray. It was a wave that went in, and then with the gold destroyed the cancer.
It heated it up.
Yeah.
It was almost like a microwave type
mm-hmm.
thing.
Yeah.
You know how if you stick metallic things in the microwave,
it
heats it up.
And it targeted the cancer.
I do remember seeing
it.
That.
Yeah. And that's still in testing right now as far as I heard about that a year ago.
Better get the price of gold down. We better solve this economy thing going on or nobody will be able to afford it. But it's... Now, that kind of genetic engineering, really, most people, I don't think, find objections to. I mean, you know, whenever you can get the body to fight it itself, I think it's much more promising. Other than so many times we use other material from somebody else, and then we have to give antibodies and everything else for our own system not to fight that.
Right, right.
And you know, I mean, whenever it's part of your own system and you're reintroducing it, the chances are much greater that you're not going to have problems. One of the things I can believe that people may have problems with is in the UK now they're saying that the public is okay with creating babies with three people.
How does that work?
So genetically manipulating. So we're going to take three adults and we're going to genetically manipulate.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You got a problem? You have a problem with this, Richard?
Yes. when you start genetically engineering babies,
right?
That's when you start selecting, and you want this trait, you want that trait, you don't want this trait. I'm sorry.
And of course, they're trying to bring it in on the realm of, you know what, we're helping people that'll have this genetic deficiency or tendency to have this defect, and we're helping them by interjecting good normal cells or normal genes from another third person. Mm-hmm. It's how they're going to defend it.
They'll use any kind of logic they can twist it. But
the same thing when the Eskimos used to let some of the passersby have their women.
Or even the islanders.
Uh-huh.
You know, the Hawaii.
Am I the only one that is thinking this? That it's going to take all the fun out of a...
out of a shipwreck?
No.
No.
Sorry.
This is... This involves in vitro fertilization techniques, of course. It allows the babies to be created with DNA from three people for couples at risk of passing potentially fatal genetic diseases. So there we go again.
I'd like
to
thank Billy Joel for his piano.
I don't think so. Yeah.
You can't make up your mind. You can't make up your mind on hair color. Just have one with two heads.
Well, with that combination that you're throwing out there, Dino, you're liable to end up with Marilyn Manson or something, you know?
What?
Well, Christy Brinkley, Billy Joel. I mean, you got a few more.
Alexa Ray. Alexa Ray. She looks more like Billy.
So, I don't know.
Marilyn Manson, where are you going?
Now, it's hard to believe, but in this particular report, they were saying that although some people have concerns about the safety of these techniques, we found that they trust the scientific experts and the regulators to know when it is appropriate to make them available to patients. You guys in trust? Or do you?
No.
I didn't realize who the three people, just hit me. What was going on here? So we're taking two guys or two girls. It's perfect for gay marriage. And then being able to splice so they can actually have a child.
That's probably, yeah.
Exactly,
you know what? That bears merit. I mean, you could genetically pass along
that
an offspring.
Stan can have a baby.
Right. Both of us, instead of artificially inseminating one of us.
Carol, Harriet, but right.
What do you think, Rich? Yeah. Any merit?
I just want, where do transgender people fit in this?
I don't know. I don't know, but get this line. Get this line.
They can make one themselves.
Right here. Similar research is going on in the U.S.
Of course.
Where the embryos are not being used to produce children. Can anybody say embryonic experimentation?
Yep.
So there you go, folks. I mean, once again, introducing all of this so-called promising technology.
Cute little line right at the end of the story.
Yep. Absolutely.
Wow.
So there we go. We are experimenting like mad scientists in our laboratories right now.
Maybe they should focus on like what causes, you know, breast cancer, say.
Right.
You know, instead of trying to find a cure for it after somebody has it, why not try to figure out why the amount of breast cancer has gone up, what, exponentially in the last 20 years?
Right.
What's causing that? Why don't
right.
we try to find out what's causing that and eliminate it from happening in the first place?
Well, I mean,
I probably know somewhere down the line.
You look at just like even men with prostate cancer. They claim that if any guy lives long enough, he's going to end up with prostate cancer.
Right.
Pretty much a given. Now, granted, our lifespan is longer than it used to be, but that is not. I'm not trying to parallel that with breast cancer, but it's just one more instance of, hey, let's work toward that instead of let's trying to genetically make up babies
in the petri. I would like to cure prostate cancer quickly. If I'm 45, it's getting close.
Well, yeah, I can.
Obama said I could wait till 50.
Did he? Before?
Yep. It used to be 40. Now it's, you can wait till 50. You're fine.
You know, there's a couple of things that I found along the same medical kind of lines.
Yeah.
You know, we've got different things going on. This was a really odd thing. You know, right now we've got, what do we have? March what?
Madness.
March Madness.
Right.
Correct? I mean, that is something that really occupies. You know what? They were up 29-16 last I heard, and I don't know.
Who's that?
At the end of the game, they were.
St. Louis Billikens.
Oh, yeah.
Did we win?
I don't know. I
think we won.
They played today or this evening?
They played today.
Yeah.
It was on earlier. And thanks to our smartphones, we will know shortly.
Yes, we will.
But, what was your point there with March?
One of the things that that they claim is that vasectomies go through the roof at March Madness time. I am dead serious. They said that and many of the clinics and many of the doctors report up to 50% increases in vasectomy operations at during this time of year while the March Madness tournament's going on. And they claim that, a lot of the men right here, it isn't just for basketball time. And it says that you may not imagine how far some men will go to be able to take off from work and watch the games. Some are calling it vast margeness. Or madness, rather.
64-44, the Billikens won.
Yay!
64-44. Go Bills.
Yeah.
Billikens, that is.
I was trying to figure out the correlation of that, what you were talking about. I had no idea.
Yeah.
So there's an excuse to stay home is what you're saying?
It says that for some men, the timing is just right to get a vasectomy so they can stay at home and watch all the action.
It only works for a day, and then you got to go back to work.
They said frozen. Yeah, but you don't have to tell your wife that.
Tell the boss that.
said, yeah, you know, yeah, you pack around a pack of frozen peas.
One of these guys going to a doctor using like an axe or something?
Five scripts in the back room. Oh, man. They do report a dramatic increase in the number of vasectomies they perform this time of the year. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, go figure. I've seen people be that serious, I think. But we really have to worry about where we're headed as a society.
Yeah, that's the March Madness. I understand we have to have some entertainment in our lives, but come on.
So it's crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. You're listening to Hillbilly Logic, speaking of crazier stuff. And we're going to take us a quick break and be right back.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You, they walk a while, a country.
No matter what time of year it is, it's never too early to start preparing for the holidays. And here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're thinking of Christmas now. Why? Because we've set an ambitious goal for ourselves to raise $2,000. That's right, we want to raise $2,000 in 2013 to help some Missouri families who may be struggling in this Obama economy to provide a magical Christmas morning for their children. Last year, in 2012, Missouri Grassroots Coalition touched the lives of 15 families because of the generosity of conservatives across the state who provided us with the means to pay off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve. This year, we'd like to be able to help twice that number of families, and we're asking you to help us with that goal. Please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab. All the details are there for you to send us what you can by PayPal, check, or money order. We want to thank all who contributed last year for their generosity and hope that you will all help us continue to prove that charitable giving works best in a constitutional republic. Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
In studio tonight, our three hillbillies are Richard Blowers, Dean Whiteman, and Kevin Harned. We've gotten together. You know, we're gonna have to get some hillbilly rituals going on during the shows too. We'll have to start thinking of some regular segments.
Yeah.
As far as that goes.
Yeah, like what?
Not really sure yet. So
hillbilly ritual.
Vasectomy update.
No. No, but I'm going to tell you, I'm afraid that a hillbilly wouldn't go that route.
Probably not, no.
No, I mean, they're not going to go through a vasectomy to watch basketball for 3 days straight. It's not going to happen.
So,
quite frankly, I'm not sure. I'm going to say that any guy that would probably doesn't
want kids anyway.
Or have need of them. I don't know. I mean, why would you? What in the world would possess a guy?
Fellas, stay home and take care of your wives during that time after her tubes are tied.
Oh, spoken like a true chauvinist, yeah. Hillbilly. Spoken like a true hillbilly. As far as that goes. Hey, if you don't like it, call us at 347-677-1835. By the way, that was Hillbilly Dean.
Exactly.
Richard.
Yeah,
was,
don't blame that one on me.
Yeah, Richard was wise enough to stay silent on that. He's like, man, I put this on my Facebook. Where's that guy? Oh man. So you know, you guys heard the Missouri Grassroots Secret Santa promo.
Yes.
That actually went really, really, really well this last year. I'm trying to. I don't recall right off the top of my head what the final dollar figure was, but I think it was in the range of like $700. And how it works is whenever people contribute to that, every single penny of the contribution goes strictly to pay off layaways at Kmart and other places that people have made. And whenever it's right there on the verge of Christmas Eve and it looks like they may not be retrieving those layaways, then it'll be paid off down to a few cents, a few pennies, something like that, and then you have the store call them and tell them to come on down and pick up their gifts.
And they don't know who paid it.
So I got to participate in that last year.
Did you pay for your stuff at Christmas? What?
No, actually. No, I actually got to participate on that. I took Ashley in, and she got a kick out of it. It was a thing to where I took her in there, and you know she got to witness the whole thing. We got to look through. We didn't see the people's names at all, so we had no idea who they were or anything. But we just looked for certain items that would be somebody who had the young children.
Yeah.
You looked for toys, and then you looked for children's clothing. You know. Baby clothes and stuff. So it was really neat, and it's a very good cause. If you go to Missouri Grassroots Coalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab, then you can make your contribution there, and I guarantee you that all the funds go to just that, and that's a Secret Santa promo or program rather that helps provide Christmas to some people that may not have it otherwise. So it sounds like they're trying to shoot for $2,000 this year. For the very first year they did it, I think they brought in $250. This year, I believe we brought in excess of $700. I could get the total figure down to the penny for you. I just know that which I helped to pay off was right around $240.
Well, how would people send money?
They would just go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and there's a Secret Santa tab. You just click on that, and you could do it through a credit card, PayPal, debit card, whatever. So, and all the money does go to that. And once again, 347-677-1835. Richard, as we move along, and we really appreciate, like, some of the information that you bring in on the firearms and so forth, because you do, well, all of it.
All of it.
Absolutely. But you do stay on top of that stuff. It is a passion. You can tell.
Yeah, I really try to. There's so much stuff going on right now that you can't keep up with everything, but, you know, you got to pick some stuff and try to keep up with it as best you can. That is one of my pet things that I try to keep up on.
You know, one of the things that you're seeing right now, too, is a whole lot of, and this is something that is going to affect us all wildly, too. You're seeing a whole lot of talk on immigration reform and comprehensive immigration reform and all those things along those lines, too. And I saw a story today by a lady named Julie Herfield Davis, and this was... this was on the guest worker visa sticking point on immigration rewrite. So, and it's talking about all the different problems that the politicians are having trying to keep people from getting up in arms. Because quite frankly, the thought of amnesty is very unappealing to the American public masses. It just is.
Yeah, it is.
It is, and the politicians want to do it so bad they can't stand it. They've got all kinds of reasons why they on top of just being just huge pools of dirt cheap labor, you've got also huge voting blocks, and those are the two combinations that they are just absolutely.
Yeah.
And believe me, both sides want them for both reasons. So don't kid yourself. And in the meantime, you know, the American public, it's one of those areas that that they got to stay diligent on, or not be thin-skinned, because they'll get called racist. They'll get called all kinds of different things, be distorted, contorted, you name it. Mm-hmm. Bottom line is that people, the huge majority of the people that I know, doesn't have a problem with legal immigration whatsoever.
Love it.
Not at all.
Not at all. Absolutely. And whenever it's done and it's done right, it can actually make the country stronger when it's done and done right. Now, if these politicians and stuff, bottom line is, if they want to, if they believe that those numbers need to be increased dramatically, then you know what? Step up to the plate and try to get it done through that manner, and right. Make your arguments and make your case. Let's quit talking about what we can't and cannot do.
You know who's maddest about this?
Who's that?
Legal immigrants who have had to go through the whole thing and get their citizenship.
I had an older Korean doctor that was treating me, I'm going to say about 4 years ago or so, for an ailment that I had. Actually, it was melanoma skin cancer. But this guy, he was one of the doctors, and he was talking about, the news was on, and every once in a while he'd go on a little bit of a rant, and he'd say, you know what, I'm sorry. And I'm like, no, don't be sorry, man. You know, he's like, it took me 11 years to get my citizenship.
Amen.
He said, now they cross the border and demand their rights.
Yep.
And the bottom line is, you know, he said, and this was his statements, not mine. And then every time he said, I'm sorry. I'm like, you know, don't say you're sorry. You
have
a
right to be outraged.
Absolutely. And then he went on and carried on and said, he said, I've seen famine. I've seen death. He said, I've seen horrible, horrible conditions. He said, America's the greatest country in the world. America's the greatest country in the world. There's no other country like it. And I told him. There you go. I told him. I said, man, and you could tell he was passionate. And he wasn't. It wasn't just, you know, this wasn't all just instigated by me. And he, after saying that, you know, it's like, you know what, you know, it's the immigration process, and it's those that have legally done it that actually make this country stronger.
Yeah.
He said, I told him. I said, we're blessed to have you as an American citizen.
Yeah. They knew what they wanted, and they went through the proper channels to get here, and their citizenship means the world to them. Yeah,
absolutely.
And they
see
proven. People doing this coming in the back door, and then the politicians constantly talk about, you know, we have an immigration problem. Well, we really don't have an immigration problem. We have an illegal immigration
right.
problem.
Well, now you can't even say illegal. It's undocumented, Richard.
It's illegal.
It's
illegal.
You know what kills me is you look at states like how about Illinois? We don't have to go far for that.
Right.
Who has made it possible now, at least through legislation passed, to obtain your driver's license as an illegal. Now, I've got questions for you. I would really like to check into this a little further, but you know what you have to do to get a driver's license at the DMV.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you have to do. How many different pieces of documentation do you have to carry in from your birth certificate to your Social Security card?
But
do you name it?
We check the American citizen.
Now, let me ask you this. I myself would urge everybody that gets a license in these states to only carry in the documentation that is needed for an illegal to get their license. Why should we be, as U.S. citizens, put to stricter standards than others?
We shouldn't be.
We shouldn't be.
Yeah. You guys are troublemakers.
Absolutely. And you know what? I'm going to urge you to make a stand.
Yeah.
Well, there, I mean, honestly, find out what it's required exactly for folks to go in with no legal status, to be illegal, and to get a driver's license, and you meet those bare minimums.
How do we find that out?
And demand your rights.
Well,
we need an illegal in Illinois to call us.
At.
Yeah.
Shameless promotion.
At 347-771-835.
Thank you, Dean.
Well, you know, at the same time they're talking about this reform in the immigration system, there's nothing being done at the border to stop the crossings that are going on. And it's almost like the media is afraid to report on it, because you get people down there that are brave enough to report on it, and some of the stuff that goes on is just scary. There's sections of the United States that they tell you not to go in because of the drug trafficking and the illegals that are going through those areas.
There are state parks within the borders of Arizona mm-hmm. that they have closed
yep.
because they cannot provide protection for citizens.
Yeah. Yep. It's just wonderful, but at the same time, they don't want to address that aspect of it. They say it's more secure now than it ever has been.
Well,
and that's a load of hooey.
That is a load of hooey.
You know, and I don't know. It's just
And not only that, but look at the just an unbelievable increase in beheaded bodies
yeah.
that they're finding now in some of those.
All
headless,
the violence,
headless,
yeah.
headless, headless. Yeah. I saw on one of the interstates down in Mexico, on an interstate over an overpass, it was like 54 headless bodies dumped on the interstate down below out of a mm-hmm. out of like a couple of closed, like what we would consider work vans. You know, they're just and that's all women?
Yep.
Children? It doesn't matter.
What did you see that on?
Look it up.
Really?
No. Yeah, I mean there's more of that than you can count.
It wasn't on CNN.
I'll save
you that.
Yeah. That
yeah.
was YouTube. If you
well,
to
have you guys been keeping up on the new Missouri driver's license and the concealed carry licenses, the hubbub that's been going on with that? Because they don't print them out anymore in the DMV. Used to be you'd go in, you'd get your picture, you'd wait a couple minutes, they'd hand you your license.
Right.
Not anymore. They have a new system in place that you have to bring in all your documents, and it turns out that the new photo machine that they use is a biometric photograph machine, that it doesn't necessarily, your picture really doesn't matter. It's taken biometric measurements off of it so that if they have another picture of you or they see you somewhere, they can compare those two and ID
yeah.
you off your picture. And it turns out that when you bring in all your information, they scan it into the computer system. And that information, the best that they can, they're having trouble getting information out of the director of
Motor. How does that work?
DMV.
Come on.
They've had, the lady told my wife at the Imperial one, the license bureau, that it goes to Homeland Security. That all that information that they're scanning in goes to Homeland Security and also goes to a third party.
This is for legal concealed carry permits.
And driver's license.
And driver's
license. Any license that's processed at, you know, it's not just concealed carry, it's driver's license too.
And
they go out and they go to this third party. Now they say they're not sharing this information with anybody. And the guy apparently in committee in Jeff City said that they don't share it with Homeland Security. But Homeland Security audits this company, what did they say, 6 times a year? So every 2 months they go in and audit, which basically means download all their information.
Right.
So it goes to Homeland Security.
Right.
It's a database.
Sure it is.
And Missouri has a law against the national ID card that we passed a number of years ago saying that we were not going to participate in this. And it looks like this is a roundabout way to get that in. They didn't have authorization from the legislature to do this. The Department of Motor Vehicles or Department of Revenue decided this on their own. And they're doing this. And the funding didn't go through the state. Apparently it went through Homeland Security and some other grants from the federal government. So they went all the way around
really?
The legislature
there we
to
go.
Do this. There's going to be a ton of stuff. Now, not all the DMVs are changed over yet. A lot of them in the real rural areas of the state haven't been converted to this new system. So if your license is 6 months out, you can renew it now.
Yeah.
So I tell people, if you got to get yours now, go drive somewhere. Might take you an hour and a half to drive to it, but go get it now, and that'll save you from getting in the system.
You know, I saw one system.
There, they've got it.
And I just was trying to look for it real quick, but there's a face recognition company that's all they do
mm-hmm.
with satellites and all kinds of other. But they said that they have on one system, they have in one computer system, they can do billions of faces at one time. Billions.
So they can do anywhere.
Just pretty much they can. They have the capacity at one time to run the scans on billions of faces. So basically the population at any given time. And that's that. How much do you want to bet that that's not being utilized much more than we know?
Well, you see the stuff that you see on television, that's mostly stuff that's already there.
Yeah.
And you see some of these shows like NCIS where they'll be looking for somebody and they get a hazy picture of a guy and they'll put it in a computer and it'll just go all through the system and boom, it'll pop up with a percentage match and tell you who that guy is or who that girl is. And they've already got that. You know?
Right.
So
what about the really clean it up thing when you see a really hazy picture and they're like, clean it up? Is that just Hollywood?
No, that's all computer programs can do that.
Hmm. Man, that's incredible.
To a point. I mean, they can't get it to where it's crystal clear, but they get it enough to where they can make, like, to read a license plate or something along those lines.
Right.
They can do that, you know.
Well, it's kind of convenient that in September of last year, the FBI had rolled out a $1 billion facial recognition system. So we've got, we've got our own ability, much less these companies that you can hire out to do that. So it's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. It's just like how do you guys feel about these automatic license plate scanners that are on state troopers' cars? And also there's five municipalities in the state of Missouri, it's four or five, that have that function on their own police cars. If you see any of the state troopers' cars, Missouri state troopers' cars, or any local police officers that have like four strange-looking cameras on the vehicles themselves, then they automatically are scanning license plates the entire time, and they're checking for any kinds of actions, warrants. The program itself, and then it'll notify the policeman of.
Wow.
Like if you're driving around, you got a warrant, it scans your plate, boom.
You're done.
Pull him over. He's got a bad light. So, and that is something right now. It's something right now that's going on the interstates and on the roads. Now, a lot of people are defending that, saying that we're getting these bad people off the streets. But years ago, and it wasn't that long ago, years ago, you had to have reasonable cause to even to run a license plate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's long gone.
Oh,
but to go from that to automatically scanning them without an effort on behalf of the officer.
You know, they're getting some pushback on some of these reasonless stops now. I've seen quite a few reports where people are kind of standing up to this. Some of them were out west where they were 150 miles from the border. And they had Border Patrol had a stop set up where they were checking people. And citizens would go through, they would film it, and they would basically say, am I being detained? They wouldn't volunteer. They asked to see your papers. And they're like, we're in the United States. You know, we don't have to show you our papers just because you want them, you know. And they'll say, am I being detained? Well, no, you're not being detained. But, you know, do you have any of this in your car? Well, it's none of your business. This is my car. You don't have – do you have any probable cause to stop me? Do you suspect that I'm doing anything?
Right.
What's your probable cause? Well, you know, can you just pull over so we can check in your trunk? No. Am I being detained? And they just – that they stick to that line of questioning, and eventually – most of them, they let them go.
Really?
And same thing with these.
They get scared, officers.
Well, they don't. They realize after when they start thinking about it, they really don't have the authority to do that. They think they do.
Yeah.
But you can't just put up a roadblock and stop a bunch of people, and ask them questions, search their cars. You have to have probable cause, or you have to have a search warrant or something. You know.
It's called the sobriety checkpoint where I live.
They don't even really have a right to do that either, if you think about it.
I totally agree.
You know.
Right.
I mean, if they observe you weaving down the road, that's probable cause. Pull you over.
Let me ask
you this. Is this probable cause? Let's say they were notorious for doing this on 44 in between Springfield and St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
But if you get, and I'm going to say, I'm trying to remember exactly, somewhere around Cuba, Steelville in that area.
Don't give the exact location.
Yeah, they would set up a sign actually saying sobriety checkpoint ahead.
1 mile ahead.
Yes, and then there would be only one exit right there. And then that's where the sobriety checkpoint was. Okay. And they would check every single car that would pull off.
Yeah.
And they were notorious for that. Mm-hmm. Now, is it reasonable cause to say that these people... Right.
It appears that... it appears that you're trying to avoid the checkpoint.
Exactly. Right.
And that's what they say to
you
when they pull them off.
That's right.
A friend that got pulled over and did that.
No kidding.
Yep.
And he admitted it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right.
But no, you saw the whole operation. He said people will pull off and they try to turn around and they've got you.
And that's, you know, that's, to me, I think that's ingenious to do that because you're basically entrapping yourself.
Exactly.
You got nothing to hide. You're not going to turn away from a sobriety checkpoint.
Right. No, you're not. No, you're not.
You might think that they're not going to shut down all of 44 for a sobriety checkpoint.
No, you're not. Some people will call that entrapment. I'm not so inclined to call that entrapment. And besides that, some of the claims of entrapment too. I'm sorry, but entrapping somebody to steal your car is not leaving the keys in it.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Right, right.
And it's insane for people to say you're baiting them. If you're not a car thief, you're not going to steal a car that's got keys in it. I'm sorry. And it'll continue. I
get mad about the bait cars.
Oh, have you ever? Yeah, absolutely.
I was just sitting in here. No.
Yeah, I was sitting 3 miles back there.
Exactly.
Have you ever seen that, Richard?
Where they put the car with the keys in it and they just set it on a busy...
And they got it controlled where they can shut the engine off
right.
and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that, Dino?
Oh, yeah, that's
yeah.
what it is.
Yeah.
They lock the door.
Oh, yeah. And whenever they realize that, they'll, oh, man, it is that moment.
You know, the entrapment thing, that's more where you talk somebody into doing something.
Right. That's something like, like the government has done before where they talk somebody into buying, you know, maybe a gun that's a quarter of an inch too short.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of a thing, like the Ruby Ridge deal. Mm-hmm. Along with some of the other circumstances, so that they can force them to be an informant to
right.
get inside of a group.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to hit you with these charges if you don't infiltrate this group.
Yeah.
You know, that's entrapment.
Yeah. That do that all day long.
Absolutely.
Wow.
But,
I didn't even know this.
Oh yeah. There's
the movie Ruby Ridge.
That is that's a lot of the claims that's kind of how there was a group that they were wanting to infiltrate there, and they thought that this guy had access to him and sold him a gun, a shotgun that was like a quarter of an inch too short or something. I don't know what the dimensions were, but then threatened to hit him with federal charges if he didn't infiltrate, and he wouldn't. In the meantime, I mean, by the time it's all said and done, his wife and infant child are dead, shot by federal agents and everything else. I mean, it was a horrible deal.
Yeah, it was.
A horrible deal. In the doorway. She's standing in the doorway holding the baby and they when
sniper
they were shot.
Dropped her, yeah.
Hold on a second. I kind of remember that. I vaguely do.
So it's, I mean, there's that. Now that's entrapment. It's
20 years ago?
Yeah, probably.
That was Clinton, wasn't it?
Yes. That was close. That was not too far off of the whole Waco deal.
Right around the same time. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Waco stands out in my mind.
Yeah.
Why was that so highly?
Ruby
it was
Ridge
a lot
was
more.
A, Ruby Ridge was a family. It was just a guy and his family that was involved in that whole deal.
Okay.
And that.
Whereas
Waco was a cult. That was a cult. Yeah.
Right.
You're right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and. Yeah, and there was a lot of stuff completely handled wrong in that too.
Oh yeah, there was.
I mean,
yeah.
Completely handled wrong.
Pretty much way over the top.
And yet you've got. I never did quite understand that. I mean, you got what? How many was it? There's 26 children that burned up in that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you know they were. But here's the thing, you've got somebody isolated, pinned down. And let them sit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not you don't have to run in with everything blazing,
no, you know,
literally blazing to
you let them starve,
rescue him in that fashion.
You let them starve.
You know, here, what do we do? We'll negotiate. We'll negotiate with the Palestinian Authority and everybody else till the cows come home.
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
up with that?
You know, well, we can't. You know, Ahmadinejad. I mean, anybody. Yeah. We'll negotiate with anybody forever. But you know, you get somebody in a isolated piece of property with barbed wire and everything else, and you can't wait them out. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's the same old, same old. Probably. And you know what? What are those people? What are those people inside supposed to think whenever this guy's been telling them that the government's Satan and they're coming after him to kill them all and everything else, and they see that stuff going on?
He was right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, at that point, he looks like the prophet that he claimed to be. I mean, it's not...
Until 1 second after, he does.
Right. So it's that, which is one other thing that should have been considered. Whenever you're rolling through that whole thing. So yeah, then you had all kinds of different things. It says here, I'm looking at actually a fairly new. Well, it was updated this year in late January 2013. It said through November 14th, Columbia Police. So Columbia, Missouri is one of them that has these auto scanners. Police arrested 50 people as a result of the scanners. The department has one of the back of a patrol vehicle and also a street crimes unit vehicle. And the 50 arrests resulted in 42 misdemeanor charges and 9 felony charges, as well as the recovery of 5 stolen vehicles and 4 stolen license plates. And Columbia.
Yeah, like
well, but yeah,
it, the whole thing, it seems wrong.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just here's the thing. If there's the potential for abuse, it will be abused.
Oh yeah,
that's just it. Yeah. I mean, we really can't. You cannot trust the government or any really any governing organization or body with powers that and trust that they're not going to abuse them. You have to have checks and balances. You have to.
Absolutely.
Whether it's true. So it's and here's a case. You know, I'm sure that they can give instances. In Kansas City, they gave an instance where they found a murderer off of a plate scan. Well, you know, again,
there's, what, 5 people that got their cars back. They'll tell you that it's great.
Maybe.
Yep.
Maybe they got them back and they wish they hadn't.
They didn't.
So, I don't know. It does happen sometimes. Nobody knows how to chop a car anymore. What the heck? Come here. When I was a kid, bunch of amateur wannabes. So, absolutely. So, we've got some other really strange things that I saw that was...
Everything's strange now.
How about in St. Louis, okay? Here's some local news and a few stories I found really weird.
Yeah, nothing about it.
There's a place called Katie's Pizzeria and Cafe off of Clayton Road. But one of the patrons there was none too pleased to find a dead mouse in her salad during a recent meal. At least that was according to a report from the Clayton Richmond Heights Patch. So it's
a mouse in,
you know,
your salad.
Well, I mean, you know, sometimes it was considered once dormouse, at least stuffed dormouse was a Roman delicacy, you know, and some rural Koreans still enjoy a glass or two of baby mice wine as a health tonic.
Oh.
So, but most of us aren't too fond of eating rodent unless they're tree squirrels.
I don't know.
You know, then you know, then you're they're tree rats. You know, we don't mind eating those.
I don't know if I believe that. Doesn't that sound like the old mouse in the beer?
The following complaint comes from the St. Louis County Health Department's records, okay? This is straight from their records. Caller stated she found a dead mouse in her salad, spoke with manager on duty. He stated they took bag of lettuce back to Restaurant Depot. Restaurant Depot states to the owner it was their fault. Manager has spoken with staff about inspecting products as they come in and serve the Katie's Pizzeria has pest control service from Blue Chip on a monthly basis. What the heck is that?
It was in the bag. They buy bags of lettuce, perhaps, and it was in the bag from the factory.
That's what they claim.
That's the story, and you know what? And this is the whole thing. Honestly, everything that we're talking about, we can't say 100% whether it's all accurate. So.
Yeah, it is all accurate.
Following the complaint, the health department inspected Katie's Pizzeria, and the restaurant received a grade A, or 100% satisfaction. So, AA, kudos to Katie's Pizzeria. I'm sure that is a bad deal all the way around.
Best wishes to the family of the mouse.
Still, a question remains, how does a member of a kitchen staff not notice a dead mouse in a salad that he or she is preparing?
Good call, there.
So, I don't know. And again, but it's nothing like the Chinese restaurant that I read about in Bowling Green, Kentucky, where as the patrons were enjoying lunch off the buffet, the owner is dragging a metal trash can through the main dining area, and it's trailing blood the entire time, and inside was a deer kill from a roadkill, and he was dragging it back into the kitchen. And granted, you know, that's probably not real good hygiene to drag the roadkill through the main lobby of the eating buffet area.
Hole in the trash.
As you're dragging. It's not, and it got them for the owners. You know,
dear.
Hey, to give them a little bit of grace, the owner said that he didn't know it was illegal and that there was anything wrong with it, and actually he was going to feed it to the patrons. He was going to feed his family. So, but take it through the back door next time, all right, at least. Maybe don't prepare it.
Hey, venison's pretty healthy meat. Maybe that'd be better than some of the stuff that's on that buffet.
Absolutely.
I have had a mystery meat before down in Springfield at a restaurant once.
Well, there was one there's one of these Chinese restaurants in St. Louis that they found a bunch of collars in.
Oh, stop.
No, I'm serious. Been some years ago. Like cat's eyes and little doggies. So it was put out of business. I don't remember what the name of it was, but yeah.
I probably
ate
there.
Yeah, probably.
I know.
You know, you kind of wonder if it wouldn't be an ongoing joke, you know, or at least if there's not some kind of humor derived, you know, as they're watching you eat your sweet and sour kitty.
You like?
You know. If you get the real hot stuff, it kills anything. You know, not that there would be. I mean, you know, I guess if it's all prepared properly, I may not be on our top choice. But
no, you're right.
I don't know.
It's just chewy.
As long as you go when you're done, that's all they care about.
That's right.
So it was chewy, and you just
seriously, the mystery meat that was.
Maybe it's raccoon. It's really
or could have been horse.
It could have been maybe. It was on the stick. On the stick, the meat on a stick, like it's carrot.
A kebab.
You know, but it wasn't beef, pork, or chicken.
It wasn't the instrument of death, was it? The stick, the same stick.
No, it was already cooked up, but it was hot. I remember thinking that. And said it at everybody's tablecloth. We called it the mystery meat.
It was weird. It had an eyeball on the end of the stick.
It
was
the place down years later.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I haven't been down there in a while.
It was the collars. They were able to track them.
I swear to you, I think it was. I think I ate cat.
But
I had that implanted microchip still in there.
What is some of the strangest things that you guys have ever eaten?
Alligator.
I've had some gator tail.
I was down in Branson, went down to that. There was a floating restaurant down there at that new shopping area where the Bass Pro is.
Yeah.
We went there last time we were there, and we had Cajun alligator tail,
mm-hmm.
like an appetizer.
Uh-huh.
Kind of chewy and greasy. I kind of liked it. My wife got sick as a dog.
She would.
It was either that or it was that big old chocolate covered ice cream cone of Ben and Jerry's that weighed like 3 pounds. It could have been the combination.
Probably Ben and Jerry. They're real liberal anyway.
Shortly after we got to the room, I was sent out on a mission for some antacids.
Okay, so alligator. We've all had that. Anything around here?
Probably the most interesting. I didn't like raccoon at all. It's really oily.
I've tried it.
kind of greasy.
Squirrel to be that.
Not big on that. But at the same place, which was over at JC's, they had it smoked up. There was a beaver, and it was very good. The beaver was good.
Is that legal?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'll tell you someplace locally that had, I got it for the first time ever a few weeks ago. I was in Cyberg's. I haven't been in there a whole lot. The Shark Tacos.
Yep.
No, dang, they were good.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. That was
shark
awesome.
Is good.
Never had it.
I tried it once at Cyberg's, too. Like shark bites.
Yes.
It's a very good meat.
Get the tacos, man. If you like the Cyberg's hot sauce at all, either, because they've got some of that on there,
This isn't really a paid public advertisement,
but but if you do, man, I'm telling you, you'll love those shark tacos, man. They are good. Absolutely. Sponsor some Missouri Grassroots Radio and the Hillbilly Logic Show. So, yeah. Yeah, I've never had anything bad in there, that's for sure.
No, not bad.
It's not that I frequented the place, but in the handful of times I've been around it, pretty satisfied. And each time, it's one of those places, too, that you can kind of get something different. It's not just the same old,
right?
You know?
Is
whatever you're going.
Is that the strangest thing any of us have done, though, really?
On the eating side of things? Yeah it's nothing like Andrew Zimmer or
yeah.
Holy
Andrew
cow, I mean... No, I'm telling you. whenever he was over in Taiwan, I think it was, and he was going through their fresh market.
Yeah.
It was like,
oh,
man,
yeah.
He was. At one point, they had some baby octopus in there and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that was the only time in my life I've ever seen him squeamish.
Really?
Where he's shaking his head and drawing, but he wouldn't try it. That's the only time in my life I've ever seen him not try something. She ate.
Was it raw?
Yes.
Yuck.
And it was alive. She ate one of the tentacles, and it was moving.
Oh,
it was moving as it was entering her mouth, and he wouldn't do it. He was like, and I'm going to tell you, I've seen. I mean, what hasn't that man eaten?
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen that on Fear Factor, though. You know, they've eaten stuff that's far worse than stuff I've seen.
And what is up with that? Well, I don't know about far worse, man. I've seen some stuff.
40-year-old egg? I'll quit it.
So I thought it was even more than that. And how do you certify anything safe for like a 100-year-old egg? I've seen some pig's feet and other things on some old bars maybe that had like a half inch of dust on the top. And
a chicken foot?
No.
He's got a show out that's Bizarre Foods America, and it shows him with a chicken foot coming out of his mouth.
There you go. It's a delicacy. They offered that up to me first.
I'm telling you.
Seriously.
I don't know. I
said no, and she picked it up.
Some of these things that are called delicacies, how do they ever come? How do you ever think to eat that?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, unless you are just like...
The bug?
Unless it is life and death and you have been stuck in a hole, swallowed by a hole for like 3 days, how would you,
really
even more than that?
Who would ever think of eating a lot of things?
I was watching a show yesterday. They fried up some scorpions and some grub worms. They ate those. I think it was Doomsday Prepper show.
There you go.
They took the stinger off before they ate the scorpion, though. But
I should have seen that. I was talking about that just yesterday. Somebody.
I figured the yodeling was appropriate.
Probably.
So it's not. I don't know. I mean, it's that's the one thing that I couldn't bring myself to eat, and don't ask me why, at least not on this, because I've eaten head cheese. I've eaten some things that would make some people. It wasn't like Andrew, like whenever he was in Taiwan, they had the goat head soup or whatever it was, where he was actually pulling like the hair out of his soup as he's... Where they boiled like a goat head. They actually had stacks. They had stacks of goat heads that was taller than the person could reach.
Tell me it's in a fridge.
No, it was in the market. They were all just they were just there, and they would take it, and they would take it, and they would throw it in this boiling pot of water. The whole thing. I mean, hair, eyeballs, you name it.
Well, the hair stuff peels off then once you boil it.
Well, yeah, but it's in a soup.
Well, yeah.
And he kept taking it around. He'd take a bite.
Oh,
no. I don't know.
Oh.
Bad news.
Protein.
But
right.
Out of everything, Dad said one time in Korea he was so hungry that somebody had brought him some dried grasshoppers and some little bitty eggs that he said had to be like quail eggs.
Yep.
They're a little bitty. He said he gobbled the heck out of them because
yep.
he was
starved.
Hungry.
Oh, I can imagine, yeah.
Oh,
but outside of that, I've never really eaten anything any more bizarre than, I guess, what we talked about. I'm not a big calamari fan.
Mm-hmm.
Don't care for calamari. Are you really?
Yeah,
you just seem chewy and I don't know. I just
didn't tell me what it
I don't
was
like the texture.
Before I was done, and we had it in the like calamari rings. It was kind of like an onion ring.
Now, have you ever seen a little bitty calamari just fried that are solid?
I hate the look of it, but yeah, and I can eat those, but they're harder to eat because you got eight little arm legs.
We ate in a restaurant in Columbia, Missouri.
Yep, fried.
No, actually, it was Rolla. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, it was Columbia. I'm back.
It was
Columbia because
Chinese Oriental food restaurant.
It was Columbia, and it was actually an Italian place,
oh, yeah,
and I can't remember the name of it. But we were down in the area. My son was in a baseball tournament, so we had the family with us, and you know how my daughter is, anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear her yell at my son. And I look over, and he's got one of these little squid, and he's got the head in his mouth, and whenever he'd suck on it, the legs would open, and he kept doing that. I didn't know what was going on. We're carrying on a conversation with another family. It's also like, stop it! And I look over, and you got this action going on over there. I'm like, knock it off, boy! What the heck's wrong with you?
Oh,
that was
man.
The first time you ever had it, and I wouldn't try any of those. But the one thing I couldn't bring myself to eat was a cow tongue, and it looked like a cow tongue.
Yep.
Yeah,
you know, and that's what it was. Absolutely. But I mean, I've been licked by cows. I mean, other things. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sitting there looking at this. Oh, it's a hog. That's great meat. I don't know, but it just
maybe,
it's a,
you know,
it's a tongue.
But if you barbecued it up on a stick.
If you made it not look like a tongue. I'd have shot.
Like tongue stew or something
right.
like that? Yeah.
Right, right. But
the look is a big part.
It's huge.
That's true.
It's huge. If you've got, therefore, you know, and I think that's with a lot of that crazy stuff that we eat, is they just camouflage it a lot of times. What do we do with kids?
Camouflage the food.
Camouflage the heck out of the food. Well, that and don't let them know. Many times parents don't let them know what it is that they're eating.
That's right.
It's chicken.
Oh, it looks fun, too. You know what? Eat your Flintstones chewable vitamin. That tasted horrible, but you know what? It was Dino or Fred or Barney.
I don't know. I did. That was our Andrew Zimmer strange food section. Did you guys see anywhere in Fenton where thieves have been targeting male enhancement products from Walgreens? It seems like they've been hit particularly hard. They've arrested a couple of thieves.
That's a small thief.
That was caught with a bottle hidden in his boot, while another had two bottles. And then, but there was one. You know, these things are running $19.99, and these guys are getting police records for stealing them, but. There was two Ball State University football players last year that was accused of trying to steal packages that totaled. Well, actually, the Kentucky police found 400 bottles of the supplement when it busted up a shoplifting ring and recovered $750,000 worth of stolen property. So I guess if you start getting 400 bottles, you're starting to. Maybe you're just desperate at that point.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Small man.
But I do know that, you know, what do you guys think? I think it's proven itself out that one of the most difficult rehabilitation or treatments of any kind of criminal or criminal mind is not only that of a sexual predator, but also, you know, like a child.
A pedophile.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Would you guys ever feel comfortable that somebody has been rehabilitated in that range?
I thought there's been quite a few studies that it never happens, that you're never really rehabilitated from that.
I know a while back, and I'm going to say probably 15 years ago, there was one guy being held in Potosi. I'd have to look that up, but he used to always even get to the point while he was in prison, he would get the Sears catalogs and look at the kids in their underwear and so forth. And he used to have a fantasy of tying up like a family, and he would say this after he gets out and everything. And the thing was, he was the root behind a new law that was passed in Missouri, because they were going to have to turn him loose because he would have served his sentence. And his fantasy, his stated fantasy, was to break into a home, tie up the parents, abuse the kids in front of the parents, and all kinds of other horrible things. They'd kill the family. I mean, this is a guy's fantasy. They were going to turn him loose, and they did pass some legislation and kept him in there. I'm not sure what's the chances of anybody like that ever being rehabilitated? None.
Yeah, right.
I really, honestly.
I watched a special one time, and there was a guy talking, and he said, if they were honest, and this was a pedophile, he said, if you let me go, if not that day, it won't be long before I commit the same crime again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if you catch me, I'll be back in here, and if you don't, I'm going to keep on doing it. You better keep me in here.
And I
thought it was very honest.
Right. Well, a lot of them do know that they've got that problem and know that they can't be trusted.
That's why they're there.
I mean, there's a big treatment service in Farmington, Missouri, actually. And there's a St. Louis City jury found 44-year-old man to be a sexually violent predator. And that's according to Attorney General Chris Koster. James Arthur Gardner has been committed to the Sex Offender Rehabilitation Treatment Service in Farmington. He had previously served time in prison after being sentenced to 10 years for sodomizing a 7-year-old boy. He had previously been convicted of sexually abusing a 3-year-old girl. Now, those committed by the court as sexually violent predators go into custody of the Missouri Department of Mental Health. They have the right to have their cases reviewed annually to determine whether their mental condition has changed and their risk to commit further acts of sexual violence has lessened.
Okay, so if it changes and that lessens, do they go straight from the mental institution to jail for what they have done, or do we think that now they're rehabilitated?
In the past, there have been some instances to where they were released. Now I'm not sure. I'm not sure in the state of Missouri. And you know what? Before the next show, I'll try to find that out.
That's just crazy talk.
But honestly, to annually review and see if somebody no longer after they've been convicted of two crimes, like sodomizing a 7-year-old boy and sexually abusing a 3-year-old girl.
But I feel much better now.
Yeah. Yeah. And you don't always.
I have it out of my system.
He may not be as honest as the other guys.
I don't trust him for some reason.
What do you guys think about that? You know, and you don't see the cases near as much anymore, but about the illegal music and so forth being downloaded, or the music illegal downloads.
Yeah. Lars Ulrich.
Yeah. Here's a case where the Supreme Court heard and approves a $222,000 fine for 24 illegally downloaded songs.
Whoa, that's like $10,000 a song almost.
So the U.S. Supreme Court judge have turned down an appeal from a woman who was ordered to pay $222,000 for illegally downloading 24 songs on the now defunct file sharing service Kazaa. And the White House advised the court to side with the recording industry right after they rented a room for $10,000 a night.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm kidding you on that.
Lady.
Yeah, on March.
I mean, you know, shame on you, but really a slap on the hands, I think, would have been sufficient. $100.
It marks the culmination of a 5-year-long suit that made headlines as much over the proposed fine as being evidence of the music industry's difficulty in adapting to the internet age. And this lady was the first American to challenge a punishment from the Recording Industry Association of America, calling the ruling unconstitutionally excessive. Her path through the American court system began in 2007 and has led to 3 guilty verdicts.
I wonder if she is the scapegoat and she's the only one that has a huge firing line.
Probably.
So, yeah, there's no doubt. Even the industry has said that they wanted to make examples
yeah.
of
sure.
people.
People with 100,000 songs downloaded.
There's one appeals court that the judge admitted he had accidentally given the jury incorrect instructions and ruled against the defendant to the tune of $1.92 million, almost $90,000 per song. So,
wow.
Thomas Rassert appealed that decision as well, at which point the judge dropped the fine to a total of $54,000 in 2009. So,
that's better. You can take out a loan.
Oh yeah. So that's
I lost my iPod. Oh no!
Wow. So that is excessive. I'm sorry.
It is.
Especially whenever we're talking about rehabilitating a guy that has molested a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
But she's gonna have to pay $120,000.
Fellas, I'm gonna have to.
You're gonna clear
out
on
here,
us,
but help yourself to keep on going if you want. But I've got to
keep on keeping on
going.
Now we're gonna be closing things out soon ourselves. Richard, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Hillbilly Logic, and we're going to go to some informational commercials.
Have you joined Missouri Grassroots Coalition yet? The results of the 2012 election proved that the grassroots conservatives need to work harder to make their voices heard in government. The best way for Missouri conservatives to make their voices heard is to join together within the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Network and show our elected that we are a strong, unified, conservative voice in Missouri. Go to the website, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and click on the Join tab. Give us your contact information so that we can keep you updated on the latest developments in Jefferson City and beyond. Also, sign up for Grassfire Alerts so that you can get immediate notifications when we need to call grassroots conservatives together in action. Use the MGC network to help your grassroots organization speak with a louder voice, combined with grassroots groups across the state. Together, we can strengthen the conservative voice in Missouri.
The remaining hillbilly duo, and that would be Dean Whiteman and Kevin Harned.
Hey,
Richard, it got a little too crazy for Richard. No, actually, he had a prior appointment that he had to make, so he couldn't close the show out with us. And we really appreciate Richard coming in and joining us this evening.
Always.
He's always
a plethora of information.
A plethora, especially Second Amendment rights, and we're very staunch on that. Dino, you got a lot of stuff going on these days, and I know a lot of it has to do with auctions. What's going on in the auction scene?
Well, you know, I went to Jefferson City and into the Big Collin Championship.
Yes. Would you like to tell everybody about what? No, well, just share what you want.
Well, let me begin by saying I am known around these parts.
Okay.
The auctioneer on stilts. And I've never done an auction where I was not on stilts.
You never have?
I never have.
See, I never knew that.
No, I went to the Dallas, Texas Auction Academy 4 years ago and came back and was drywalling with you. That
right.
I learned to walk on the stilts 3 years ago and said, I'm going to do this. And that's my thing. You can see it on YouTube. Look up the auctioneer on stilts. But I scared the judges. There were three judges.
You know why? You know why? Let me tell you.
Tell me.
They were intimidated.
One of them was.
Because they didn't. They couldn't walk on stilts, see?
I thought that, but he said that I had three judges. One wrote, it was great, great gimmick, you know, so he got it. But the other two, one wrote, don't wear the stilts next year. That's all he wrote on the whole critique. And the other guy wrote, the stilts were distracting and intimidating. Don't understand
mm-hmm.
them. And I'm like, wow, so I can see the people in the back.
Right.
You know?
And it does work great.
Oh,
I'm telling you, you got a great view of the room. On top of that, you're duds.
Well,
you're
yeah,
all suited
guys,
up now.
The guys told me, if you want to win this thing, lose the stealth. And I said, I guess I don't want to win this thing. That's okay. Maybe someday I'll
good for you.
Play with it. But,
good for you.
You
don't need there.
So, hey, Saturday, I'm auctioning the KFC in Crystal City.
All right.
Well, it's not the KFC anymore.
I saw the signage.
Yeah, did you?
I saw the signage for that. But
KFC. Maybe it is 30 years. And they said, you need to, you know how it is after 30 years,
right.
remodel and do that. And he
right.
said, no, I don't think I'm going to remodel. And they said, well, you can't be a KFC. So the building, 2,400
so that's why they closed?
Feet, that's the only reason.
I'll be. So much like a lot of the car dealers. They were forced into remodeling or else losing their distributor.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
Same
example. Well, you know the one that the Ford dealer used to be on Festus Main Street?
Yes.
That's why they wanted him to move out to Herky or get some higher profile. And he lost his distributorship because he would not go into debt on a big new building. And, yep. So
I had no idea. Well,
no, they pulled it.
Well, this will be it's going to be an absolute auction. There's no reserve, no minimum bid. It could go for $1. I hope it doesn't.
Right.
So we hope that we have a nice turnout. And got another call today from some good friends of ours that are going to have a nice auction upcoming, and that's going to involve trucks and trailers.
Awesome.
And that is an awesome one, so I'll keep you informed on that.
Do you have any dates or anything on that?
You know what? Actually, that one, and keep watching auctionzip.com. If you
okay.
go to the Missouri website, Dean and Cindy Whiteman, right down there at the bottom, look for W, Whiteman. That's Auction Action Company, and we'll have pictures. I'm going to be taking pictures out there tomorrow, actually. But the KFC is on there right now. You can see all the pictures of that. Come on out and bid on Saturday. And after that, I'm going to say April 20th is what we're looking at for the trailer and truck and car.
Okay.
So that's an exciting one. I'll keep you up on that. And otherwise, no, it's just things seem to be taking off a little bit. I don't know if that's good or bad for the auctioneer. For the economy, you know what I mean?
Actually, you know, one of the things I had, one of the things that really, really hurt amongst others, I should say,
yes.
but is really indicative of the construction side of things, was so many architects went out of business. So, you know, there was, I had an architect tell me that maybe up to 50% either closed the firm, went out of business, anything like that. Now, recently, I did talk to him again, and he said he's getting a lot of stuff across his desk.
Good.
Along with a lot of other ones have really, really, really increased their business.
Right.
Now, that translates many times to, you know, 1 to 2 years down the road.
Absolutely.
But at least they're getting a whole lot more projects. So hopefully seeing a little more action on that as long as we don't destroy the economy in the meantime.
Please.
But
don't beg everyone.
No, it's not.
Washington.
So, yeah.
Please.
Please just don't. Let it work. That's all we're saying. Let it work. Don't regulate us to death on things. So, anything else? Anything else you want to share about the auctions or anything? Once again, the website.
Auctionzip.com, and that is actually a website that contains every auctioneer in the country.
Really?
It has all the states on there, and you just click on your favorite home state, and that'll bring up pretty much every auctioneer within that
so
state.
So, with
really great
with Missouri Grassroots Coalition, that would be the state of Missouri.
The state of Missouri.
It doesn't mean that we don't talk about things that aren't pertinent to other areas, but
no, actually, everything that's pertinent comes right out of the Midwest, doesn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
I remember I met a guy years ago, and I I was in Mexico. I got to spend a short period of time there. 30 years ago, I was 15. I met a guy from California kicking this little ball around on the beach. And I said, what's that? And he said, that's a hacky sack. I said, I've never seen that.
Well, it's about 3 years. It's new in California. It takes about 3 years to get into you guys.
And I was offended.
What?
What?
You know what, about 3 years later?
A hacky sack.
In Missouri.
Hacky sack heaven.
Right.
So, wow. You know, if you're out there, buddy, you were right.
Yeah, but, on this occasion, you know, I don't know what. If you had little tips like that, I mean, think about it. You could open up these little, like, these little booths at the malls
uh-huh.
or whatever have you with nothing but that little specialty. Yeah. That's
five
the key.
Five guys. Have you ever eaten there?
Five Guys? No, I have not.
That's a good place.
Is it?
And it's one of those where they got the idea from a place that was out in California, changed the name. Five Guys got the idea when they were having lunch at this place in California.
2 men in a truck was having lunch at Five Guys?
It was just like that, and they came up with the idea, and they're making it.
Huh.
Amazing.
Well, I'll be.
And so they just took an existing idea that worked and made it their own.
You know what? That's pretty creative if you can do something else with a burger place right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that pretty much, I mean, is that the brunt?
I don't want to dog it. It's great.
Yeah.
It's a good burger. By golly, it's a big burger.
Right.
It's like a double.
Who was that? There was a burger joint that used to have huge. It was all based on burgers. The whole
Fuddruckers?
Place.
Fuddruckers.
Fuddruckers.
Yeah, Fuddruckers. Still one around. I haven't been there in years.
Don't Is there still one around? I thought they.
Crestwood.
Okay.
They had like a million toppings.
I think that one closed in Crestwood.
I'll quote it.
No, I think so. I'm not sure, though.
I was going to go there.
No, but it was kind of like, I mean, the only time that I've been to there, I thought it was more along the lines, and it's been a long time ago, more along the lines of like a sit-down steak or something, but it was a hamburger, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Just didn't see the value in it.
I agree. I remember it. Really, only one time, but I thought
right.
it was good.
It was good. Yeah. It was good, but it was a burger.
I know. I don't
want to talk. And I'm not, you know, like we were talking about that shark taco earlier.
Yeah.
You know, that's... At least that's different.
And
yeah, it's
taco
it's a taco. Howdy. It's not just a taco, it's a taco.
Mm-hmm. And fish taco.
And?
It was a fish taco.
I had their grilled fish sandwich,
the
one they've been advertising.
Okay, the grilled fish?
Yeah.
Is probably what they used in the taco.
I'll bet you.
It wasn't fried, it was grilled, and it was like a little triangular piece.
Yes.
And
same thing.
Okay.
Same thing.
You know,
it was okay.
That's what I said. It was okay. Yeah. They said, would you order it again? I'm like, yeah, I probably wouldn't.
Right. Well, I haven't ordered the sandwich again. And that's probably been 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago, which doesn't mean it's not like I go by Hardee's every day either.
No, I know.
But it's definitely.
Fish, we might.
And any way you're looking at it, you know, it's along the lines of, you know, I haven't wanted to go back. No, I'm just kidding.
You know what? There's we had a talk at work 2 weeks ago because somebody was like, what's that fish sandwich? We said it's Arby's. No, it's not Arby's. They cut the thing open and it looks flaky. I was home that night and I'm like, oh, it's Culver's. There's the commercial. I came in Culver's. He's like, no, it's not Culver's. So I came back in the next day. There's another commercial that night. Came in and said, it's Wendy's. Yeah, that's it, Wendy's. There's like five fish commercials.
Oh, yeah, there is. There is. I think even Arby's, maybe. America's
Arby's
Roast Beef, yes, sir.
For,
right.
$2.99
right.
Whatever fish.
The McDonald's is, right.
I eat it. I like fish.
I have it.
I've tried them all except the Wendy's one. That's the one I have to try next.
Huh. I don't know. Yeah. It's but we're gonna close things out now. I'm going to have to get something to eat on the way.
Yeah, now I'm hungry. Let's go get some fish.
So we're going to maybe get some roadkill, and these two hillbillies are going to make some stew. But outside of that, thanks for tuning in tonight. Thanks for tuning in, and God bless you. We'll see you again in a week, right around next Thursday.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.